Grace, mercy, peace, and purpose are yours. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. John the Baptist, he stuck out like a sore thumb. Like Pastor Pedlo mentioned, he didn't talk like everybody else. He didn't look like everybody else. He didn't eat the same stuff as everybody else. He didn't hang around in the same place as everybody else did. And that got him into trouble. He was arrested and eventually executed. John stuck out like a sore thumb. The Apostle Paul, he stuck out from the rest too, and that got him into trouble. Roman soldier chained to your ankle under house arrest kind of trouble. Paul stuck out from the rest. But these two men were just doing what God called them to do, being whom God called them to be. God called them to stand out from the rest. This was their purpose, part of their purpose in life. This week and last week, we've been talking about purpose, as Pastor Pedlo said. Last week, we talked about our purpose being proximity. Ours is just like Jesus, purpose of proximity, to lower ourselves to the level of others, to serve and to sacrifice for them. This week, another aspect of our purpose as Christ followers is like John, like Jesus, like Paul, to stand out. How do we do that, though? What does that look like? And how do we know that it does any good at all? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. We're looking at the latter half of Philippians chapter 2 in this fourth week of the series. And we'll see what Paul has to say about that. Paul writes this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." These are the main verses that I'll talk about today that I'll refer to and base the sermon on. But I think even the rest of the chapter has some connection to this theme, our theme of standing out. So I'll read that at this time. Paul continues, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. For I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." So Timothy, in Paul's estimation, stood out from the rest in a sense. And so does the man that Paul's going to mention next. He continues, "But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare him sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me." So Paul gives us two more people that we can see as examples of people who stand out And as he says, shine like stars in this dark world that we live in, Timothy and Epaphroditus. You know, sometimes people say of Christians that we are conformists, and they use that in a derogatory way. Sometimes people rag on us Christians because we try to live upright lives in this world that we live in. They say, well, you're conformist. You try to just, you're conforming to some outdated way of life, some 1950s Leave It to Beaver way of life. But the truth of the matter is Christians are not conformists. If anything, we are non-conformists. Remember how Paul described the world that he lives in? It's pretty fair description of the world we live in. He said it's a warped and crooked generation. In this world that we live in that is darkened with sin and unbelief, we Christians are nonconformists to that darkness because we reflect the light of Christ into that darkness. Our job, our purpose, is to stand out, as Paul said, to shine like stars among it. But what exactly is it that makes Christians stand apart in this world? Well, I'd say the first thing is a matter of mindset. We talked about mindset last week. Paul even used that word mindset when he said to imitate Christ in our mindsets, be proximate, lower ourselves in humility to others' level and serve them and sacrifice for them. But this is a different mindset that I'm talking about this time. Paul refers to that mindset when he says these words, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I'll say this right up front. These are not words that sound great to Lutheran ears. We Lutherans, we're all about being saved by grace alone through faith alone, right? Working out your salvation doesn't sound so great to Lutheran ears. Fear and trembling don't sound great to Lutheran ears, right? We're all about gospel motivation. We love God and we serve our neighbor because God loved us first, and we're grateful to God for all of that. We're all about gospel motivation. Fear and trembling? But when we take these words in the context of Paul's letter, and in the context of Scripture at large, it's easier to understand them. What Paul is saying here is that Christians are to be aware of their weaknesses, and that causes a little bit of fear and trembling, a healthy kind of fear and trembling, as we look at the threats to our faith coming in from this sinful world, this darkened, warped, and crooked sinful world that we live in. We should not be under any illusions that were we to succumb to the world, were we to give up the fight, we could lose, very well lose, our faith. We recognize in our weaknesses that it is only by God's grace, first of all, that we're saved. And it is only by God's grace that our lives would ever in any way resemble our Savior, Christ's life. And so that there's a healthy kind of fear and trembling as we see the threats to our faith out there in the world. And were we to ever give up our faith and deny it, we should have a healthy kind of fear and trembling toward our God. And so this is the mindset that sets us apart from others in the world. A mindset that recognizes our weaknesses, a mindset that recognizes our absolute helplessness, hopelessness, crookedness, and sinfulness without the grace of God. Of course, it's not just a mindset thing that sets us apart from the world around us. It is that God also calls us to have lives that are set apart from the rest of the world. The way that our lives look and the way that we behave, we would say, stands out in the world. Paul gives some pretty specific descriptions of what to the Philippians of how their lives should look and stand out. Here's what he says. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Okay, that's just hard. Do everything without grumbling or arguing? That's really hard, especially in election year. It's really hard to not do anything without grumbling or arguing. It's not easy to resist that. Maybe that's part of the point, is that sin is often the easier choice to make. Sin is often the easier path to take. Henry David Thoreau has this famous quotation where he says, "The path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men." You ever wonder why a river winds and bends like they do? This one's really crooked in this picture. It's because water follows the path of least resistance. Water goes wherever gravity leads it. Rivers don't run up mountains. Rivers go around mountains. Rivers just simply follow the path where the water flows the easiest. The path of least resistance. So it is true of men as well, as Thoreau observes. Arguing and complaining, grumbling, are often the easier choices to make. It's often the easier thing to do to just live the way I want to do, we live. You do you. Be true to yourself, the world tells us. The world tells us it's a virtue to live how you want to live and not let anybody or anything tell you otherwise. As Christians, we set ourselves apart from others in the world because we are held to a higher standard. The Apostle Paul tells us what that higher standard is. He says it's the word of life. He says, "Then you will shine like stars in the among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." This is what makes us stand out and shine like stars in the world. We are held to a higher standard, the word of God. Here's another quotation I shared in Bible study a few weeks ago from Francis Schaeffer. He says, "If there is no absolute by which to judge society, society is absolute." This is what makes us shine like stars as Christians, as Christ followers. We hold ourselves to an absolute standard. We hold ourselves to a kind of transcendent morality. It's absolute and it's transcendent because it comes not from us. It comes from outside of us. It comes from above us. It comes from God, who himself is absolute, who himself is holy, who himself is transcendent and eternal and unchangeable. His standard never changes. It's absolute. And this is what we hold ourselves to. When society ignores that and says, "Oh, we're going to decide what's right and wrong," they're ignoring God's absolute standard and morality. But that's what the sinful world wants to do. They want to reject God's authority and decide for themselves what is good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. And isn't that why things just feel so backwards right now? Isn't that why everything seems just so uncertain? Let me give you one example of the uncertainty and the backwardness of our day and age. God's word says that if you own a piece of property, no one should be able to take that from you. That owners of property should have that property protected. And how does God's word, as an absolute standard of morality, how does God's word set that out? It says, "You shall not steal." It's pretty simple. But in the past few months of unrest and rioting and looting, a very high-profile book has come out. And this is what it looks like. This is what it's called, "In Defense of Looting." This is not a joke. This is not satire. The author seriously, honestly, sincerely argues that looting should be justified in certain circumstances. That in certain circumstances, people should be allowed to break the windows of businesses and take the merchandise that the businesses are selling with impunity, that they should not be arrested or prosecuted for this. Now, I won't get into the warped and crooked logic behind this that the author makes, but suffice it to say, it's warped and crooked. Now, this is the kind of logical gymnastics that is very common in our postmodern age, where people decide for themselves what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. When we ignore the Word of God, and when we, without the Word of God to teach us what is right and what is wrong, we're going to defer to society to tell us what's right and what is wrong. We're going to defer to the path of least resistance, the path of sinful selfishness, the path of darkness. And it's not just true in society at large. It's true in my own sinful heart. It's not just an external temptation of society telling me to you do you and take the easy road. It's my own sinful nature that has this internal temptation to do things my way. And that's the amazing thing about God's grace. God's grace does not just forgive my path of least resistance behavior, but my very own heart that struggles with that, because I still live with this sinful heart that wants to ignore God's way and do things my way. I still live with this sinful heart that wants to make up my own reality and make up my own authority and make up my own moral standards of right and wrong, of good and evil, even if that's at the expense of other people. But God's grace is big enough to forgive even my sin-filled heart. Why? Because of God's Son, Jesus. Because His heart stopped beating in answer to my sin's guilt. The blood that coursed through Jesus' heart was poured out of His body because of my sin-filled heart, to pay for my sins, and even my heart that is full of sin. Because that blood of Jesus was entirely blameless and pure and without fault. Jesus Himself never took the path of least resistance. He stood out in this world like no one else ever. He was the paradigm human in a world full of versions of humans that are flawed by sin. His heart was pure. His hands were clean. And His record was spotless. And grace upon grace, God looks at that record and those hands of Jesus and that heart of Jesus, and He looks at us and He applies those to us. He credits Jesus' heart and hands and record to us, grace upon grace. Because of Jesus, God looks at you and He sees innocence, He sees purity, He sees you are without fault in His eyes. You stand before Him innocent, and you live under Him with purpose. And so we follow after Jesus. This is our purpose too. To reject the path of least resistance. Our purpose is to hold firmly to the Word of life. To hold firmly, first of all, to God's grace that forgives us. And then to hold firmly to that standard of God's. A transcendent morality of right and wrong that He has given us for us to shine like stars and to stand out in this world. If we're honest with ourselves, this isn't easy. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes it feels futile. Sometimes we wonder, is it all for nothing? Does this do any good in the world for us to stand out? And for John, for Paul, it heaped up a whole lot of trouble on them. Is it worth all the trouble? But Paul reminds us in Philippians 2 that any of our efforts to stand out from the rest, any of our efforts to shine like stars, any of our efforts to imitate Christ and John and Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus are never in vain, because their efforts were not in vain. John stood out from the rest, and it caused a lot of trouble for him, including his arrest and execution. And it wasn't in vain. And Paul heaped up a lot of trouble on himself by standing out from the rest, including his trials and arrests and trials and execution, but his efforts were not in vain. And Timothy and Epaphroditus stood out from the rest, and it caused grief to them, and they suffered for the gospel, and trouble was heaped upon them. Their plans were changed out from under them, but their efforts were never in vain. And my friends, so it is with us. We live in very uncertain times. But as Christians, we have a number of certainties by which we can live. We swim against the stream, rejecting the path of least resistance, choosing the path of greater resistance as we hold firmly to the Word of God. At times, we're going to feel like it's all for nothing. But just like John and Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and our Savior himself, ours is a purpose that is the same as theirs: to hold firmly to the word of life as we shine like stars in the dark night of the sky, which is the world in which we live. This is our certainty. We have this certainty in an uncertain world and an uncertain time. God has given you purpose. Purpose to get proximate, like we talked about last week, to serve and sacrifice for others, and purpose to stand out, to shine like stars as we hold firmly to the word of life and as we rejoice knowing that our efforts are not in vain. Amen.